pray that you would speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Would you speak clearly to us today? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, everybody. I apologize for my voice. You would think I was shouting at the Ulster rugby yesterday, but I wasn't because it was not a very close game. Shouting for the first 5 minutes until it was over. We're continuing our series, and we'll just see how long I can go. I might stop abruptly, but we're continuing our series on a Jesus-looking church. Maybe we've got some visuals there for Jesus-looking church. Oh, no visuals. Oh, dear. Ah, well. We don't need them. Voice or visuals. What do we need them for? So we've been doing this for any of our visitors. We've been thinking about how we, as a wee church here in Marlin and down in Dallingstown, how we can look more like Jesus in our lives so that we could draw people to him. And we've been looking at lots of different models, as a church as a barracks where we learn to be an army, a church as a school where we learn some information, lots and lots of different models. And today we're thinking about the church as a boat. Now, I've been asking who's got a PhD. Today I'm going to ask you, has anybody got a boat? Has anybody got a boat? Does anyone own a boat? No? Oh, do you? What do you call your boat? A million miles. Do you like that? That's pretty good. Someone in Dallingstown has a boat and they call it the boat. I thought that was really, 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 really inventive. Here are some of my favourite boat names. I hope you like them. One of them, it would be better to see it written, but try and imagine. Seize the day. Seize the day. Usain boat. More often than not. You like that? Peer pressure. They get worse. Cirrhosis of the river. And has anyone got that? And finally, my favourite, passing wind. Passing wind. Anyway. But folks, if I was to show you pictures on this screen, what I'd be showing you right now is that it's been a little bit lost, but the boat was an early Christian symbol. Now, I'm sure we have all seen the fish, haven't we? Do we have fish on our cars and things, you know? And they've become quite a popular image. But the reason the fish was first brought around was it was a sort of a hidden symbol of the church from the persecutors. But the ship was there as well. And if you imagine, it's even in the catacombs in Rome. If you imagine, the ship quite beautifully hid the cross as you drew a ship. If you imagine the sail and the little bit, you could see a cross hidden in the image. And it became a really good image for the early church to use. And in fact, the Romans, when they looked at Christian churches, they thought it looked like an upside-down ship. See that? An upside-down ship. And that's why we call this area of the church the nave, because it's connected to that word naval. You understand? So there's been a link right from the very beginning of the church between the church and the image of a boat. The church and the image of a boat. We are a boat. Yeah, we're a school. We're a family. We're an army. But we are also a boat. And I suppose the question that I was going to ask this morning to you is, what sort of a boat are we? What sort of a boat are we? Well, one of the beautiful things about the sort of boat we are is we're a secure boat because we have an anchor. We have an anchor. You see, in the Hebrew mind, the scariest thing was not the dark. I don't know if anybody here is scared of the dark. Or the scariest thing wasn't the monster underneath your bed. I don't know if anybody's worried about that. But the scariest thing in the Hebrew mind was the sea. They were terrified of the sea. And in fact, there was a particular, and you can read about it in the Bible in a number of places, there was a particular monster, a legendary monster. It wasn't the Loch Ness, but it was the Leviathan. A particular monster that the Hebrews were afraid of. and thus the sea was a very scary place. And if you read the Psalms, you'll notice that that fear of the sea is represented a number of different ways throughout the Psalms. You'll even notice in Psalm 46, for example, there's talk of the mountains, even if the mountains fall into the sea. There's a terror to the sea. The Genesis story, where God creates, what does he create into? He creates into the chaos of these dark waters, and he makes land. There's a fear of the sea. But we're told beautifully that Jesus is the anchor. It talks in Hebrews 6 about him being an anchor for the soul. He's anchored us into the heavenlies. So no matter what happens, no matter what persecution we face, no matter what misfortune we come up against, we're promised that we have an anchor in the holiest of holies in heaven. We don't need to be afraid. So we're a secure boat. But actually, sometimes we become obsessed with the idea of security and we forget that we're also a boat made not for the harbour, but for the seas. There's a famous poem by Sir Francis Drake from the 16th century. And it says this: "Disturb us, Lord. Disturb us, Lord. When we are too pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too small, when we have arrived safely because we sailed too close to the shore." See, we're not simply meant to be people with an anchor. We're meant to be people with sails. We're meant to be a church, a boat that's made for the darkest parts of the seas. There's a lovely story in the Gospels in Mark 4, where there's a storm comes upon the boat the disciples and Jesus are on, but Jesus is asleep in the belly of the boat, amazingly asleep. And the disciples do exactly what I would do if I was in a storm and what many of us would do. They go to God and ask him to help. It's prayer. They go to Jesus and wake him up and say, "Help us, we're going to drown." And Jesus gets up and he goes on to that ship and he stands and he says, "Quiet, be still." Uses the same words he uses to a demon later on in Mark. And he quietens the storm. But here's the fascinating part for me. Jesus rebukes the disciples. Now, why is he rebuking the disciples? They do what any of us would have done. Go and get Jesus when things are difficult. He rebukes them because he says, "Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Why are you guys not quieting the storm yourselves? Why are you not doing that?" But we as a church, we've become great at talking about the anchor, haven't we? But we're not great at going out into the deep, dark waters and stilling the storms. That's what Jesus calls us to do. Are we simply survivors, folks? Are we simply holding on? Or are we saying the gates of hell will not prevail against us? We are going to go out and still the storms. Are we raising up our sails? Or are we just dropping our anchor? Are we going with where the Spirit would blow us and where he would want to use us? So the sort of boat we are, folks, is we're a boat with an anchor, but also a boat with a sail. But secondly, we're a rescue boat and we're not a cruise ship. A rescue boat and not a cruise ship. I love the story that Jackie read to us. Not just because Jackie's a great reader, but because it's a great, 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 great story. It's a challenging story because it speaks about the nature of the church when we're doing what Jesus wants us to do. You see, these disciples have been out fishing all night and they have caught not a single tuna, not a herring. They have caught nothing all night. Experienced fishermen. And a carpenter comes up to them, Jesus, and he says, "Why don't you drop your nets again?" And they must have really been gritting their teeth because they've worked hard all night and here comes a fella that makes tables for 11, telling them how to fish. but they're obedient to him. He tells them to go out into the deep waters and cast their nets. And when they cast their nets, you know the story, the nets are so full of fish that they begin to break. And then they have to get their buddies to come with another boat. And when they bring the fish onto the boats, the two boats start to sink. But here's the fascinating thing. The very next thing that Jesus says to them is he says this, "Don't be afraid. From now on you're going to be fishers of men and women." Isn't that right? Now, fishers of men and women, that's the mission of the church. So what Jesus is saying there is that we can expect, if we put up our sails and do what God wants us to do, we can expect to see such fish, such people come into the kingdom that it would nearly sink the church. Do you hear what he's saying? We have this doom mentality that the church is in decline. And Jesus has said, if you raise your sails, go into deep waters, it'll sink the place, there'll be that many. But the church, we haven't been good, have we, at going into deep waters and doing that. Folks, here's what I also see there. Jesus seems to realize that it's normal for us to be afraid. It's normal for us to be afraid. We should be doing things that make us afraid. We should be going to deep waters, to places that scare us. Because we're not a cruise ship or a rescue boat. We're not a cruise ship or a rescue boat. I hope I'm not betraying anyone's confidence here as I say this. I don't think I am. But when I was early on in the church, I was 3 weeks in, and someone said to me, "Simon, you're doing a great job." That was a praise sandwich. "You're doing a great job, but you don't talk about hell." Okay? I thought, I'm only 3 weeks in. Give me a chance. Folks, I believe completely in the reality of hell. I believe completely in it. I believe the Bible speaks, we have to believe in it. I believe the Bible speaks of a terrible place. We don't know what that place is going to be like because there's lots of different images used of that place. But a place where we will be eternally disconnected from the presence of God. A terrible place. But here's what concerns me about Northern Ireland. There's people that believe, really believe, that every single day there are people dying and going into an eternity where they will never experience the presence of God. There's people that really believe that their family and their neighbours are going to a lost eternity. And they believe it and they fight to the death for that truth. But they don't do anything about it. Now folks, that is sort of sick, isn't it? If you really believe that, you really believe that people are going to a lost eternity, the opposite to heaven, and we don't do anything about it. But yet we're so concerned about going to a church that's got a good youth program, and going to a church that's got good worship, and going to a church that's got good preaching. We really want a good cruise ship, don't we? A really good cruise ship. That'll take us to wonderful places and give us wonderful experiences and give us everything we want. And yet we believe in the back of our minds people are going to a lost eternity and we just carry on like it doesn't matter, like it's not really happening. Here's the big question, folks. Are we a rescue boat or are we a cruise ship? Here in this church, are we a rescue boat or are we a cruise ship? It's got to affect our lives, doesn't it? Finally, guys, we've said that the church is an anchor, but it's also got a sail. It's a rescue boat. It's about winning people for Jesus, not about just sitting comfortably. Finally, it's a ship full of slaves. It's a ship full of slaves. What do I mean by that? Well, you well-versed biblical scholars will know that the word for slave or servant is doulos. Okay, 1, 2, 3, doulos. I just didn't get it. 1, 2, 3, doulos. That's not paint. It's a word, Greek word for slave. But there's another wee word that's used. Luke uses it, and Paul uses it a few times, and it's huperetes. Huperetes. 1, 2, 3. Is that a new word to you? New word? Good? Right, good. A new word. Well, Paul, as you know, used to be called Saul. And he was climbing the ladder, going to be one of the most important theological minds in his whole society. He was heading for the big time, and he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and Jesus commanded him that he was going to be, from now on, a huperetes. He was going to be, instead of a big shot, a slave for the gospel. A huperetes. Are you a huperetes? Before you answer, let me tell you what a huperetes is. It's not only a slave, but the lowest possible form of slave. A huperetes, the word means under rower. Under rower. And if you imagine a huge Roman warship, a huge Roman warship had 150 oars. And those weren't driven by a motor, you'll imagine. They were driven by the huperetes. A bunch of people that were trafficked and were chained into the belly of that ship. And they were given the job to sit in the dark and row for the rest of their lives. Horrible job. Does anyone want that job? Sit in the dark and row for the rest of your life. Close your eyes. I want you to experience the huperetes here, right? Close your eyes, everybody. Close your eyes. You're in darkness. And I want you to put your hands out in front of you like you're holding an oar. And you're sitting in darkness. Your eyes are closed. You're chained. Remember, you're chained up to the bottom of the ship. And you're waiting to hear a sound. Now, keep your eyes closed. You're waiting to hear a sound. You're waiting to hear the captain on the deck beat a drum. And the rhythm of him beating that drum is the rhythm to which you're meant to row. Okay? So get ready to row. All right? I'm beating. Probably breaking the microphone. You're all rowing in unison. And now there's another army coming, so we've got to speed up. Well done. Good rowing. Excellent. That's what the huperetes do. That's what they do. They're in the dark, waiting for the rhythm to start. So they start to row. Folks, there's a few things that make this image so powerful when we think about our calling as the slaves of the gospel. The first thing is this. We are completely working to the will of the captain's beat. We're completely working to the will of the captain's beat. We're just waiting to hear the captain start the rhythm, and we need to respond. You don't do that if you're on a cruise ship. On a cruise ship, you work to the will of your stomach, don't you? I think I'll have some Indian food now. I think I'll go get a drink at the bar. It's all inclusive. I think I'll get off here. And maybe I'll not. Maybe I'll just lie here in the sun. It's all about pleasure. But the huperetes, these under rowers, all that they're obeying is the captain's beat. That's all they're doing. Is that you? Are you on the cruise ship or are you on the rescue boat? The huperetes work to the captain's beat. Secondly, they're all in. You see, if they lose that war on that warship, now the captain might hop off into a rescue boat and get away. And the first mate might get away and some of the crew might get away, but the huperetes are chained to the ship. So if the ship goes down, they go down with it. Yeah, you're right. If the ship goes down, they go down with it. And Paul is saying that if you're a gospel person, you're all in for the gospel. You're all in. And listen to even these words. He says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Is that you? That's not the words of someone on a cruise ship. They say, for me to live is Indian food tonight. Are you all in? All in. is the single driving force of this church, the gospel of Jesus Christ? The rescue boat, or is it a cruise ship? The glory. You see, when the Hooperettas, if they win, you know, when that rowing begins and the Roman warship wins the war, guess how much glory those boys get? None. None. Is the glory all for Jesus? That's what Hooperettas people do. But where the metaphor runs out is when we remember that the Hooperettas had no choice. You have a choice whether you want to lift your oar or you can't be bothered. You have a choice whether you want to get on a cruise ship or a rescue boat. If the Hooperettas don't row fast enough to get thrown off, Ronnie, don't walk out. So am I. If the Hooperettas don't row, they get thrown off the ship. Our motivation is not fear. Our motivation is love. Our motivation is love. So folks, as we think about this theme this morning, to be a Jesus-looking church, we need to be people on the boat. What sort of boat are we? Do we have an anchor? Are we anchored in heaven? Do we have no fear because we're anchored in the things of God? Do we have a sail that takes us to places we're afraid of? Are we a cruise ship or are we a rescue boat? And finally, are we a ship full of slaves? Would you stand with me? And let's just close our eyes for a second, just very briefly. Let's just think about it as we have our eyes closed. Do we have an anchor? Are we absolutely sure that we have given our lives to the Lord Jesus in a way that we're not afraid of this world? We're not afraid even if the mountains fell into the sea. Do we have an anchor in heaven? And if we don't have an anchor in heaven, folks, let's make a change to that. Let's give our lives to Christ today. But a question for those of us that do have that anchor, do we have a sail? Is Jesus taking us to places where we can be soul winners for him? Are we a cruise ship or a rescue boat here? You know, when we hear about that Jeannie Morgan weekend, are we thinking, I might go to that? Or are we thinking, who can I bring to that? Who can I bring along into the presence of Jesus along to that event? Folks, are we slaves? Are we the Hooperettas for him? Are we people working at the will of the captain's beat? Are we all in? Are we working and living for the glory of the captain? And are we motivated by love? Folks, can I encourage you? Be part of this boat. Be people that aren't just simply members of this parish. Be members of this team that are desperate to see souls won for him. Folks, let's believe that if we go to where Jesus wants us to go, if we drop down the nets as Jesus has commanded us, we're going to see so many men and women come into faith that it would cause our church a problem as to where do we put them. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you disturb us, Lord? Would you disturb us? Cause us not to sail too close to the shore, but to go into deep waters for your glory. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.